Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 27, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we now turn to you, hoping to hear a special message that you would have us hear, we just pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear the words that are yours for only us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's easy for us to read those words from the Bible and realize that they were written many, many years ago. But if we really stop and think about it, the time of Jesus' public ministry is upon us now. No longer is the kingdom near, the kingdom is here and now. I wonder sometimes if we postmodern people, with all of our technology and distractions, with our comforts and connections, our 24-hour news cycle and on-demand everything, ever consider that Jesus is in our midst even as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Are we aware of the divine right in front of us and the responsibilities our allegiance to the Holy requires of each and every one of us? Who do we think rules our lives and our world, really? What forces and motives, what interests and loyalties truly guide our actions? Who in this world truly has power and influence? Do we really want the kingdom of God to be at hand, so close that Jesus appends our expectations, that he invites us to leave all we know, causes us to follow wherever he goes, and utterly transforms our priorities, our purpose, our talents, our resources and skills? It's easy to gloss over the call stories of those first disciples. We have heard these stories before, but we are not fishermen, and our lives are radically different than those of Simon, Andrew, James, and John. What would it even mean for us to leave our nets and be fishers of people? But something about Jesus caused them to jump up and go. Now we ask, what really does this narrative have to do with us? All of these questions are related. How is the kingdom of God at hand here and now? Do we really want God's upending rule to reign supremely and exclusively? Does Jesus' call cause us to radically reorient our lives and subsequently the world all around us? When we think about it, if we aren't willing to consider that third question, the first two are solely rhetorical. If we are not willing to hear and heed God's call where we are right now in tangible ways, then the godly kingdom's proximity will not matter much to those who are unwilling to get real about what Jesus' gospel truly says about living in this world today. We know that God's light will shine. The darkness will be lifted. Jesus and his followers will preach and teach and heal. The rule of God cannot be stopped. However, if we are not responding to Jesus in our midst right now, if we are consumed with lesser gods, the kingdom of God will feel far off to those most in need of its immediate, unquestionable presence. Following Jesus and fishing for people requires the freedom that comes from repentance and letting go. Letting go of our cherished nets, our certain plans, our entrenched expectations, our fears of scarcity, and our sole allegiance to the tribe. It's never a once and for all, finally and forever kind of thing. Our entire life is a conversion. We are always being converted, shaped and formed into the likeness of Jesus. Over and over again, Jesus comes to us saying, "Follow me." Following Jesus does not happen in the abstract, but rather in the circumstances and relationships of our lives. Our relationship with Jesus is grounded and experienced in the people and events of our lives and in our world, just as it was for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. We see that throughout the remainder of Matthew's account of the gospel, he not only describes the life and ministry of Jesus, but also the ongoing shaping and forming of Peter's and Andrew's and James and John's lives. That shaping and forming happened in Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes, in his healing of the sick, in his telling parables, in his feeding the 5,000, in James and John arguing with others and hoping to sit at Jesus' right and left. in Jesus' crucifixion, in his resurrection and ascension, and in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Every one of those moments echo with Jesus' words, "Follow me." Every one of those is as much a turning point in the lives of the disciples as was the day Jesus first saw them by the Sea of Galilee. Turning points always resound with the invitation to follow Jesus. They are the intersection of our lives and his life. And isn't that what's happening in today's gospel? We hear it in Jesus' words. He only says two things: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, and follow me. At some level, they are two sides of the same coin. So often we hear the word repent and think, oh, that's for the really bad people. But repentance is more than just a moral change. It's a life change, a turning point. We look in a different direction. We see with new eyes. We establish new priorities. We travel a new road. The turning points of our lives bring us face to face with Jesus, and they come in lots of ways. Sometimes they come as we planned, as we worked and hoped for. Other times they are completely unexpected and take us by surprise. Sometimes they bring us joy and gladness. Other times we're filled with sorrow and loss. Sometimes they affirm everything we thought and believed, and other times they leave us confused and not knowing what we believe. You've probably experienced all of those and more in the turning points of your own lives. Just think about the turning points in your lives, times when, for better or worse, your life was turned around. Moving out of your parents' home and beginning your own life on your own. Falling in love and getting married. The birth of a child. The death of a loved one. Words or actions that hurt another and forever changed the relationship. Graduation from school and beginning your first job. Some failure in your life, be it a vocational failure or a failed relationship. A success or accomplishment that was a sign of new hope. Discovering the passion that excites, inflames, and drives your life. An anniversary grounded in commitment and deep satisfaction. Your new role as caretaker of your spouse or of your parent. A long-time dream that finally came true. The list could go on and on. We could all tell stories of our lives' turning points. But what they all have in common is Jesus' invitation, no, his command to follow him. Each turning point comes with the opportunity for and the promise of Christ to refashion our lives. And that's what Jesus did for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He said, "I will make you." That's what he does for us as well. He makes us who we truly are to be. In him, we begin to recognize ourselves. Each of you can look at the circumstances of your life. What is the turning point you face today? What's happening? What do you see? Somewhere in your life today is a turning point, a place of repentance. And maybe you know exactly what it is. Maybe you've not yet recognized it. Maybe you've closed your eyes to it. But regardless, Jesus is there, beckoning and calling, "Follow me." I want to close this morning by reading yet another passage from Matthew, jumping ahead to chapter 14. This is where Jesus had just walked on water to the astonishment of his disciples. It says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat. He said, 'Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come.' Peter walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" I love that story because it shows that Peter, in all of his faithfulness, was willing to get out of the boat and to walk towards Jesus at Jesus' invitation to come. But when he became distracted by the storm around him, he began to sink. And it was then that Jesus showed his faithfulness. He reached down and saved Peter. It's a story for all of us as we think about the changes in our lives, the way that we may be feeling called in new directions. Maybe we're feeling that we need to renew our spiritual walk with Christ. All of it is there for the courage to step forward and knowing that Jesus is there to reach and grab us if we begin to sink. It is a story for our lives today, and it's one for which I say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for the way that you do call us, that you show us that there are ways that we need to change in our lives. Now we pray that you will give us the courage to answer your call. The changes may be small, or maybe they're large. But Lord, you have shown some of us that you are faithful, if only we will be faithful in turn. Lord, we lift up to you this morning those who are in need of your care and your healing and your comfort. Lord, we do continue to lift up to you Jennifer Williams. We pray that she is comforted by your presence and that she is given hope by the technology and all of the medical miracles that we see around us. And we do pray that you will give her hope and comfort as she begins her treatments. And Lord, we lift up to you Vestal, as she recovers from a mild stroke. We pray that there will be no serious lasting damage. We pray that she will be able to continue and live a life of quality. Lord, we lift up Elijah Harmon and his family. We do pray for your healing upon that dear child. Lord, we are grateful for all that you have done for us. We do pray that you will help us to follow you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.